Radio Sheffield. Today marks a year since a group of people pitched tents outside Sheffield Cathedral in protest against the injustices of global capitalism. Their aim was to follow in the footsteps of similar demos in New York and in London. They spent 99 very cold days there, and they found themselves in court. Our man Dan Green is at the cathedral now, a year later, where some of those original occupiers are gathering.
I am. Good afternoon. I'm here on the Cathedral Forecourt right now. I expected a bit of a school reunion feel this lunchtime as people mark what started here a year ago to the day. It's freezing cold here on the Cathedral Forecourt as it was last November. This was the scene of the camp for 99 days, and during that time, as we know, there were some supporters, there were some detractors. We know they clashed with the cathedral for a time. They wound up in court. Eventually, after 99 days, they packed up those soggy tents and went home, but we've not really had that much of an opportunity to chat to them since. So I'm standing in the middle of a circle of about a dozen people who have who've gathered here this lunchtime to sit on chairs and have a natter, I think, by the sounds of it. Well, you can tell me, Jean, first off, what are you doing this lunchtime?
Well, we came to the... we set up camp here a year ago.
Mm. Well, we know that bit. What are you doing today?
We thought... We had a meeting a week ago. There were just five of us. We thought it would be really good to do something for the anniversary. And it would be nice to see people again, because we sort of all split up a bit after the evictions.
So it is a bit of a school reunion feel,
then? It is a bit. Yes, and we've also got some new people. We've got some new people who've joined since the camp was evicted.
And what do they call themselves? Is this a group? Is it a campaign group? Do you still go under the banner of Occupy? You say you've got new members.
Yeah, it's definitely about Occupy.
Right.
And people are here because that is what is important to them. It was important to them then. It's still important to us now. It's about social justice and equality. That's still really important to us.
How do you reflect on the time you spent here then? I mean, we've just been saying that the world hasn't changed an awful lot in a year by the looks of it, has it? Did you really achieve your aims?
I think it's an enormous thing to talk about. I mean, you could talk about it for hours. I just think, do you want to talk to somebody else?
Yeah. I can do it. I'll ask you.
If you look at sort of the history of our civilization and civilizations before, things don't just happen in the space of a year. Things have to start.
Yes, sit down.
Opinions have to change. People have to mobilize and ask for what they want. And in this country, there's been a lot of political apathy. People haven't got involved in the process because they feel alienated. And hopefully, within the last year, more and more people have come to feel that they have a part to play and they need to put their voice in. Whether or not it's going to change things overnight, that's a different question.
Do you guys really see that then? Do you see a movement having been created from this? Because, I mean, most of the people that we talked to on the street at the time just sort of saw it as a camp and some soggy tents.
We were very much involved with communications with all the other camps as well. We were talking to London on a regular basis and Leeds and Nottingham. And in fact, we held the national conference here in the Citadel, which we squatted not just because we wanted a space, but because we were trying to highlight another problem in the city, which is the redevelopment that's supposed to be happening at that end of town. And the fact that that building had been sat empty for 12 years. And, you know, it's a fantastic space and we made good use of it. We had people here from all the camps in the UK and abroad. And that was a real achievement, something that the...
So it's a network. It's a network of people who've obviously all got the same views on things. But how does that really do anything? How does that really change anything? I mean, I'm standing here today as you're all sitting around in a circle and it looks lovely, but how does that achieve the aims?
Well, like I think one of our colleagues from Occupy London was talking about on the Toby Foster show this morning, the suffragette movement took 30 years to actually make any change. Things aren't going to happen overnight. And you need to understand that it's about raising awareness and getting the issues into the mainstream media. And I think Occupy definitely succeeded with that.
Can I ask any of you, who was actually here last year then? Who actually spent time under canvas? Can I just ask you, on a purely practical level, what was that actually like at the time? Because we've not really had an opportunity to catch up with you since. I mean, you were being attacked from quite a lot of people. You, as I say, there was a big wrangle that went on with the cathedral. What was it actually like on the ground?
On the ground, it was... an amazing experience. It brought together lots of people with similar views. I spoke to many people on the streets. I did a lot of time here, first thing in the morning between sort of 6 and 8 o'clock before I went to work. Spoke to people about what we were doing and why we were doing it and explaining a little bit. And I think once people understood why we were doing it, they understood there was a problem. But it's not one single problem. It's not a single issue that you can campaign against. It's part of the bigger issue that comes with neoliberal capitalism, whereby there's socialism for the rich and capitalism for the poor.
How much time did you actually spend in the canvas? Because that must have been, I mean, it is freezing cold as we stand here on the forecourt today.
I'd say by the end of it, I was probably there sort of one in every three nights. At the beginning, I was there most of the time, but with work commitments and other things, I had to step back. So, probably about 30% of the time, 40% of the time. And it was a similar story with a lot of the other people who were working. People had responsibilities and couldn't give all of their time to make it work in the way they perhaps wanted it to work.
And did you all get on? Because, I mean, that's the other thing as well, isn't it? You get a lot of factions in these sorts of things.
I think you have to appreciate that the Occupy movement, like Tom was saying, isn't a single issue. It's an umbrella for lots of issues which may come under the bracket of inequality, if you like. And that meant that there were people who were staunch socialists or communists even, and some people who had voted for Nick Clegg, you know, and it was a real variation of people with lots of different issues, but that all seemed to come under the same umbrella.
Because I did, when we chatted to you on some occasions, I did sense that there were disagreements and that there was a bit of tension between the group.
Well, it was more that we'd picked a spot where we were under attack a lot of the time from people who wanted to steal from us or give us a hard time, whether it was street drinkers or homeless people. That
did that happen?
It happened on a daily basis, unfortunately. It was one of the hardest things we had to...
Just make a point there is that if you look at the Houses of Parliament and question times that take place there, it's not the most civilised of conversation that takes place amongst our politicians. So at the end of the day, the human condition means that we have different thoughts and opinions, and what Occupy was about was trying to make sure they were all heard in an open place where people felt confident to speak their views, and those views were heard.
I suppose the difference in the Houses of Parliament is you're not sleeping in a sleeping bag just across from someone.
So again, that sort of added stress to the system means that people don't perhaps act as rationally as they might do under circumstances where you've got a lovely second home that you've got the taxpayer to pay for, then you've sold it off and you're already ready to retire, you're comfortable. So it brings a different mentality to things.
Is there any possibility, because I mean you're all meeting here today, I'm watching a few more people sort of looking like they're arriving. There's no plan to do anything like this again, is there?
Well, like I said, we had quite a small meeting and we thought it would be good for us to meet up on the anniversary of when we set up camp. And it's from day to day, really. I mean, it's... We don't now have the big general assemblies like we did every day when we did decide what we were going to do, you know.
But you are having a little impromptu meeting here. The sun's come out, Roni, which is rather lovely. It kind of almost looks like a little picnic as I stand here and they all sit round on chairs. But I wonder, they are going to have a meeting in just a second, and I wonder what they're going to be discussing and what they're going to be plotting next.
Dan Green, thank you very much indeed. What a tremendous report there, really.